Well, good evening.
Good evening.
It is good to see you all out here. Out here. I mean, when's the last time we did out here? So before we get started, there's just one quick announcement. We had a little bit of confusion on the announcement about the kids' meetings at the Pittman Hall. Only the 14 to 17-year-olds are meeting there this evening. So I apologize if we were misleading. Can you hear me now? Oh, is that better?
Yes.
Do I have to start all over?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. That was supposed to be, anyway. Okay, well, good evening. Wanted to just clarify the announcement from earlier. We had mentioned about children's meetings at Pittman Hall. There's only one going on there now, and that's the 14 to 17-year-olds. So parents of the younger children, you don't have to worry about that. That was our mistake on that announcement. But as we get started here tonight, it will be hopefully a very unique and inspiring time to end today, sitting outside and being able to literally look up at the glory of God and look around you and see and feel the creation. We'd like to get started with hymn number 283. We'll sing all verses of hymn number 283, and then Brother Dan Wojcik will ask a blessing on our evening service.
Thank you.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful weekend we have had to look back on now, and capped off by this Lord's Day itself, this Sunday. We thank you for just all the wonderful insights and pointers and just wonderful thoughts that we will take with us, and yet there's more to come, of course. But now we ask that you would help us kind of unwind a bit from all this and settle back and to really have our minds open to a very higher visions of your majesty and your grandeur, and yet the fact that you do regard us and know us all very well. So now we ask that you would be with your servant Obi as he leads us in this evening service, and will do basically all the things that he does so well. So we ask your guidance and direction on us for the rest of this evening and in the days to come also. And we thank you for every bit of this in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
So, brethren, tonight, let me back up. You know, one of the things in our society that we don't do is experience awe. We're so busy and so driven to get to the next task. We don't stop long enough to have that sense of awe of the glory of God. Tonight, there are no tasks. Tonight, there is no place to go. Tonight, there is nothing but the glory of God. Brother Obi.
You all look so serious. I'm not going to hurt you. What a glorious setting, isn't it? I appreciate Rick's opening remarks. I think he picked up on the transponder and knew exactly what I wanted to tell you tonight. I want us all to participate and share our hearts together in this very special time and this very special place. The climate here is just so remarkable, so beautiful, so wonderful. The convention has just been such a joy and a treat. It's been such a pleasure to me to see brethren connecting who haven't seen each other in maybe 30 or 40 years. And the joy of reunion in their faces is just such a delight. Those are my wages, by the way. That's what I get paid for being on the committee, is to see those smiling faces. And now, I do want you to connect with this moment. Do you feel that gentle breeze? Do you feel the lovely temperature and the beautiful surroundings and the majestic blue sky? I want you to take a minute or two to just sit and connect. And I've arranged the band to play a little accompanying music for it. So, brethren, connect, prepare your minds and your hearts. Meditate. Thank you. I want you to imagine nothing. Nothing is hard to imagine because we live in a world of something. But the world did not always exist. There was a moment in time, perhaps 15 billion years ago, when our Creator said, "Let there be a universe." And that is such a spectacular concept. You know, scientists tell us that at that point, time did not exist. Space didn't exist. So the distance between me and you, that didn't exist. There was nothing material. The universe came from an infinitely dense and infinitely hot particle smaller than an atom. Imagine if all this splendor around us were condensed to the size of a BB or a marble, and then squeeze into that the solar system, the Milky Way, all the galaxies and all the universe, squeeze it down into that marble, and it's still much too big. Squeeze it further. Infinitely hot, infinitely dense. And under the command of our infinite Creator, who said, "Let it be." And the universe came into being. The precision that physicists find behind the universe that we live in, the precision, such things as the magnetic force, the weak atomic force that somehow regulates the decay of atoms. I'll get over the science in a minute, I promise. But I find it fascinating. The strong nuclear force. All these things are so finely tuned that they come together with a factor of 10 to the 120th power of precision. Now that's a lot of zeros and a lot of numbers. So you write the number 10 and then 120 zeros, but we can make it easier with an illustration. Some scientists say that that degree of precision would be like me standing at one end of the known universe and with all my might throwing a dart. And across the billions of miles and billions of light years of space, it is my good fortune to hit a target bullseye less than a millimeter big. There is a God. There is a Creator. It makes me feel such awe to consider these things. And now I have a little quiz for you, and it really is a little quiz. Are you ready? Don't worry, I'm not going to trick you. What is that? You're right. You ever feel how much a paperclip weighs? A paperclip? It weighs about a gram. Why am I telling you a paperclip weighs a gram? I'm telling you a paperclip weighs a gram because if we took Einstein's theory of relativity and turned it around and took that mass or took the energy and slowed it down, the light, speed of light times the speed of light, and we slowed that down. By the way, that's pretty fast, isn't it? 186,000 miles per hour times 186,000 miles per hour. Per second. I flunked that class in school. I'll admit it. No, I actually did okay. 186,000 miles per second times 186,000 miles per second. So if I took this paperclip and returned it to the energy that Jehovah God used to make that, you know what I could do with that? I could power a 100-watt light bulb for 30,000 years. Think of the power the Almighty God has. How great thou art. In Psalm 19, we read of the perfections of our Creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. My rock and my redeemer. How great thou art. Dear brethren, there is a God. Let's raise our voices and affirm that together. Resonates in our minds and hearts as we go through the whole day. And I love considering the power of God with you earlier. If he can do that, he can help me in my little troubles in this world, can't he? If his wisdom, if his intellect is so great that he can construct this universe, and who knows what lies outside the four dimensions we can perceive, He can certainly handle our needs today, and tomorrow, and to the end of this life. I love the thought expressed in the 57th chapter of Isaiah. It tells us a little gem of truth about our Creator, our Heavenly Father. Here's the description. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. We are so small. What does he see in us? He sees the love that he has for us and his desire to create us. I don't think size is important with the Lord. It is the mind and the heart, the dimension of that purity and godliness, that spirituality that is growing inside all of our hearts, to revive us when we are humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. This is great love. What a God we have. How great thou art. Let us sing hymn 45. His love make known. Creator. I love Psalm 19. We read it earlier. We often think of it just in the description of the creation of the physical realm. But another thing was created there, something equally solid and beautiful. And the thing that was created there are the laws of Jehovah God, his divine principles that guide us in daily life. By them is thy servant warned. By them we are brought in touch with the divine mind and the divine sensibilities of good and evil, of righteousness, and of the other divine qualities, like loving kindness, mercy, patience. What a beautiful God we have. He controls all that power. He controls it perfectly, but he controls it according to principles of righteousness. We've been having a marvelous study in the book of Genesis in our home ecclesia. And we were struck with many things in the life of Joseph. And we're so struck with them because they illustrate the omniscience of God. How wise he is. You know, we can think of God being constrained by time, that he's as much trapped in the passage of time as we are, but God existed in a place where there wasn't time from all eternity. Time is something we experience here on this planet, not him. He's not shackled by it. He is the creator of time, the master of time, and not the slave of time. And so in his divine wisdom, he can plan for all eternity without ever making a single mistake. The life of Joseph illustrates that. Now, we're all familiar with it, but there are a few little points I'd like to mention this evening, just for us to meditate upon. You know, Joseph was not the eldest. He had at least four other brothers or more. But he was always his father's favorite. And the other brothers took resentment. Do you remember reading that story when they're about to meet back up with Esau, Uncle Esau, who really has it in for Dad? And, well, he might send his armies out and he might kill us. So what was Jacob's plan? He took the sons of the handmaid and put them out in front. You know, they were kind of like the cannon fodder. If anybody was going to get hurt, it was the sons of the concubines. And then after that, the sons of Leah, because, well, she's second best. And then in the back, it's Joseph being held back, his precious treasure. Well, it all worked out very well. Esau was delighted that they had this reunion, and things worked out very well after that. But Joseph's brothers, it came to a point where they couldn't stand even to speak peaceably to Joseph. I assume that means something like, well, they couldn't say good morning or how you doing. No exchange. Ice cold, apparently. And it was set off and made even worse by the fact that his father made him a coat of many colors. In many translations, it says. But looking at that in a few of the Hebrew commentaries, they say it doesn't mean many colors. It means a coat with long sleeves and a long hem. And I thought, doesn't quite have that poetic ring, you know, a coat of many colors. No, he had a coat with long sleeves and a long hem. But why would he have that? And why would that be such an issue in the family? I'll tell you why. His brothers were shepherds, right? And if you're out there working hard with those animals, you roll your sleeves up if you've got them, right? That's just like in the vernacular. Okay, let's roll up our sleeves and get to work. Because long sleeves get in the way. And you would gird yourself up. You wouldn't want something hanging down. You know, you've got to bend down and walk and run after animals. You don't want anything in the way. Well, brethren, they might as well have pasted this word on the back of that long coat. Management. And his brothers knew it. And they resented him. So Joseph goes off to find his brothers to check on him because he's management. And he went to Shechem and is looking and can't find them. And a stranger walks up, you know, and says, hi, what are you looking for? You know, there are some verses, words in the Bible that you think, well, I could just take my white out and wipe that out and not be at a loss for not having that in there. But our dear sister Ruth Eldridge, recently passed, had a phrase that she often stamped on my brain. She said, when it seems unimportant, a throwaway, watch out. It's very important. This man says to Joseph, well, I was standing around and I heard them saying, let's go to Dothan and graze the sheep there. So Joseph goes to Dothan, and we know what happens. His brother's taken, throw him in a pit. A caravan comes, they sell him to the caravan, and the 17-year-old young man is carried off away from his father's house and all he had known all his life, and he's being sold into slavery. That stranger in the field, what a coincidence that he overheard the brothers talking about going to Dothan. What a coincidence that he just happened to be there when Joseph came looking for them. What a coincidence. Oh, I'm getting the reaction I was hoping for. I'm getting brotherly, no coincidence. Joseph had a train to catch. He had a train to catch to go to Egypt. And we know why. Because there he would prepare the way for his brothers to come and be saved from famine and death. What a great God. How great thou art. It inspires reverence, awe, and appreciation for the holiness of our Creator. So let's sing about it. Let's do that together. Let's sing Holy, 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 hymn 223a.
Thank you.
How great thou art, Heavenly Father. Holy, holy, holy. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of God, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my strength and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock. I will trust in him. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And so we are saved from our enemies, saved from ourselves at times, right? I've been saved from myself. Thank the Lord. Miracles still happen. Miracles happened in the life of Joseph. Our Heavenly Father arranged the whole circumstance so that he could prosper the nation of Israel. And in prospering the nation of Israel, would prosper the lineage of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and would prosper the plan of God, bringing us to this point in history when we are so near the full establishment of the kingdom. Miracles still happen. I know that a miracle happened just the other day, because I heard about it firsthand from a very, very dear sister. Brethren, you're in for a treat. Have you ever seen a for real picture of an angel? Yes? No? No, no takers on that one. It's not a trick question. I'm going to show you a for real picture of an angel and someone who was blessed by the angel. But not yet. One of our dear sisters was driving to this convention and driving by herself. And didn't want to be on the main highway because, well, the main highway, you get all those trucks and crazy people. And, you know, it's a little bit nerve-wracking sometimes. So instead, one of the state routes was taken, you know, came off the main highway. But several hours into the trip, 5-6 hours into the trip, she was praying mightily. Lord, I need strength. I don't think I can make it. Lord, help me. I don't think I can make it. And so on this state highway, she pulled off to the local Chevron gas station to fuel up. She got out of her car, and the angel said, oh, sister, how are you? Have I got it right so far? Okay. Pretty much. You know, Hollywood, they embellish everything. By chance, by coincidence, by divine providence, brethren were taking the same route. They pulled into the same gas station at the same time, and she got out of her car. And the angel said, I can drive for you. So the angel left her car, her husband was driving, which, by the way, was a Prius. I'm not getting paid for all these commercial plots. The interesting thing is that the sister drove a Prius as well. Who knew? And so it was just like a perfect fit. The sister arrived at the convention for my blessing, for her son's blessing, for her blessing, and your blessing. And now, the moment you've been waiting for, I'm going to show you a picture of a for real angel. There's Sister Jean with Sister Minnie Andrews, who just happened to be there at the right time, at the right place. Brethren, these are joyous moments. We can count all our many blessings in our Christian lives. You know, the Bible Student Fellowship is so warm and so on point with each other, so in sync with each other. It really is a family arrangement, and I love it. And I mean no disrespect in saying this. You know, there are so many different Christian varieties of faith and expression out there. But lately it feels comfortable to me to say, this is the pot the Lord chose to cook me in. And I'm delighted to be here. Delighted to be here. And look forward to spending eternity with you, doing the work and in the presence of our Heavenly Father. That's going to be pretty sweet, right? That'll be the sweet by and by. So let's sing about it.
Thank you.
We shall. How great thou art. What a great God we serve. If we have anything to boast about, it is the greatness of our God. The greatness of his power, incredible power. Will you ever pick up a paperclip again and not think, I could power a 100-watt light bulb for 30,000 years? We make our boast in him. And we don't boast because, oh, you know, he's so powerful. If he wanted to, he could smash you down and put you in your place. We don't boast about him because he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Here's why we boast about our great Creator. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Wow. So we picture our Heavenly Father basking in the things that bring him great pleasure. You know, we might get great pleasure from sitting and looking at a magazine, watching a movie, tinkering with something, building a model, writing a great novel, I don't know. But where does his delight come from? I'm sure he has delight in the physical creation. I think he takes delight in us. But he takes delight in the divine laws that we were talking about earlier, the divine principles. Love. Oh, that delights him. He meditates on that. Justice, being fair to everyone, and righteousness. What a great God we serve. He never veers from his principles. They are always faithful and abiding. And so in our prayers, when these words are rolling around in our minds and we're saying, hallowed be thy name, how great thou art. We might also say, Heavenly Father, great is thy faithfulness. And it is great. It has never failed any one of us, ever. So, let's sing about it, shall we? What a faithful God we serve. A God who is faithful to his principles of love, kindness, mercy, patience. In the fourth volume of Studies in the Scriptures, we find a lovely quote of the expectations of what the kingdom will be like. It's a portrait, if you will, of the kingdom. I'd like to share it with you again this evening. No creature of the redeemed race will be too low for divine grace to reach through the all-powerful and blessed agency of the kingdom. No degradation of sin will be too deep for the hand of mercy to fathom, to rescue the blood-bought soul. No darkness of ignorance and superstition will be so dense in any heart, but that the light of divine truth and love will penetrate its gloom and bring to it a knowledge of the joy and gladness of the new day, and an opportunity to share the same by obedience. No disease that can attack and pollute the physical system will be beyond the prompt control of the great physician, and no deformity or monstrosity or superfluity or redundancy or mental imbecility will be able to resist his healing touch. Look at the world around us. If you didn't have the Bible and you saw this, and somebody said, figure it out. What is the being who created this like? Would you say, well, obviously a vengeful ogre? No. The beauty of the different shades of green in the trees, the beauty of the birds, the wildlife, the flowers, the miracle of the human being. All the processes that have to go on in the human mind, in the nervous system, in the circulatory system, in the respiratory system, all these incredibly complex systems that again work together in an incredibly complex and unified manner. And with that, the capacity to feel emotion. Tonight, looking at the beautiful skies, I think we feel emotions, we feel peace, we feel joy, we feel contentment, we feel happiness. Isn't it great to be sitting next to the brethren right there? Yeah, we packed the chairs a little close so you get that effect. It worked. It's good. I can look at this world and say, this is my Father's world. And I know what kind of Father I have. One of my favorite hymns just happens to be titled that. It's called, This Is My Father's World. And just as we took a few moments a little while ago, while the beautiful piano music was playing, to connect with the evening as it came early on, now we're a little further along. And things have changed a little bit. It's a little cooler. The breeze is a little more gentle, a little softer, but perfect. Wonderful. So, we're going to play a couple of verses of This Is My Father's World. And when it's time, I'll let you know, and we'll sing it together, okay? But drink in the evening, friends. Thank you. a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. How great thou art. I think it's time. Don't you? Let's raise our voices together, singing How Great Thou Art. how great thou art. It was fun to come together and taste the tip of the iceberg this evening, the vastness of our mighty Creator in all his wisdom, power, justice, and love. It's beyond my mind to fathom. It is high. I cannot attain to it. May this always be part of our prayer, part of our meditation, part of our life, that our hearts continually sing, how great thou art. Amen.
Well, thank you, Brother Obi. You know, we started today with a scripture. Let me just remind you of that scripture. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So now tell me, did that scripture live up to its billing?
Yes.
Thank you, brother. We're going to conclude with the Songs of the Night. Brother Walter Onesco is going to read that for us. Brother Obi will close with prayer and then perhaps a brief announcement.
Good evening, brethren.
Good evening.
Songs in the night. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. John 15:4. Our Lord gives us an intimation that the growing of much fruit is not wholly dependent upon ourselves, and that even while we abide in him as fruit-bearing branches, the quality and quantity of the fruits is to be improved by our having proper ideas before our minds and earnestly seeking their realization. Thus, he says, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The intimation is that the desire and the asking of the Father at the throne of heavenly grace is a means by which we make more and more receive of the sap of the vine, the Holy Spirit, and be enabled to develop the fruits of the Spirit. It will be noticed that nothing here implies the seeking or finding of earthly good things. These are to be left wholly to the Lord's wisdom and providence and his people. The true branches of vine are to desire and to seek for the Holy Spirit, which the Father is more willing to give to them than earthly parents are to give good gifts to the children. And our scripture, John 15:4, as the branch cannot bear fruits of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me.
Let us pray together. Loving Father, hallowed be your name. How great thou art. Father, as we have the privilege of coming together as a group of your children, uniting our voices in praise to you, you have in turn raised our hearts up this day. It truly has been the day that you made. It's perfect in all its ways. Heavenly Father, be with us the remainder of the evening, the remainder of this convention, the remainder of our lives. Let the sentiments of the scriptures and the hymns that we shared together tonight resonate in our hearts for a very long time. Let them resonate in our hearts and cause a desire, a burning desire, to honor you in our thoughts, and to honor you in our words, to honor you in our deeds. We always point the glory and give all the credit back to you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for this day again. We thank you for your divine plan, Father. We thank you for Jesus and his phenomenal example, being willing to even suffer death, death on the cross. Father, we long for that time when we might ask you about that conversation when you were planning before he came to this earth. We are in awe of it. We deeply appreciate it. And so, in his worthy name, our Lord Jesus, whom you have sent, we rest our thanks, our praise, and our hearts in your hands tonight. Amen.
So, brethren, that's it for this evening. Brother Obi, I believe we have ice cream. Is that right?
Yes.
So, brother, as you dismiss, I just want to personally thank you for being so cooperative. Chairmanship is a challenge, and you made it much, much easier. So, Lord bless your evening and your fellowship. Thank you.